Welcome home, neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Olivia,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
Well, welcome home, everybody, to the July 19th, 2020 edition of My DVC Points Community Hall Live Podcast. I'm Chad, your host. If you're just now joining us, this is a weekly show that we host all about DVC members, their thoughts, their opinions. And tonight we've got some pretty interesting agendas. I am going to come back in and welcome back to the show our producer, Gina. So, Gina, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Awesome. Glad to have you back on and doing this. And then these next two guests are no strangers to the show either as well. So let's welcome back Brian Flock from DCL Duo. So, hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Chad?
Oh, can't complain. Can't complain. We're having all kinds of fun tonight. We've got some fun Disneyland topics to go on. And so let's welcome back in Lauren as well. How you doing tonight, Lauren?
I'm doing well. How are you, Chad?
I cannot complain. I am like happy to be hanging out with three West Coasters talking about Disneyland and the new DVC Tower. So before we do that, let's just do a quick recap here. So what's your guys' countdowns like for going home? When are you guys going home next?
So I'm 81 days to Saratoga.
Okay. So Brian?
109 days to non-DVC, but Port Orleans in the French Quarter. But if it opens.
What happens, yeah.
Hey, we all run out of points at some point in time, Brian. So some cash stays will fill in a gap. Lauren, how about you?
Nothing official yet, but probably March, sometime in the spring at Alani.
Yeah. We're rooting for you for June in Alani.
I know.
My DVC Points listener meetup.
I know. So, I have some points that will expire before then, but we'll see.
Well, make it two trips, right? It's a short hop across from LA, right?
It's a short hop. 5 hours. No biggie.
Short hop. So I am down to like 102, 103 days, unless I just can't stay away from the magic that much longer and I find some cheap airfare and pop down there when Gina's there just to meet up in person again. So that's likely to happen. I'm not going to put it past me because I know me and it's been February since I was home, and that's like I'm going through the withdrawals. Okay,
I talk
with everybody about their vacations all week long between this show, the podcast, everything else, and it's I'm not in Disney parks like every other month. Something's wrong. But so, anyways, that's coming in there, and we are working on an update to the MyDVC Points app, and we'll be able to come back in and remove the FastPass thing. Cry. Okay. But we'll be getting the ADR set to the 60 days, which they are now, and starting to come back in. I was holding off on that, but it looks like that new policy is going to be around for a while. And we figured we might as well go ahead and just put that into the app. But so a couple of stories tonight. And I think we just did our countdown share. And the app is available on the App Store and Google Play. And also, I would like to do a shout out as well and thank you to DVC Resale Market for sponsoring our platform. Ken, I'd like to say that the show was done, but these guys just sponsor the whole platform. So we just mention them whenever we can, give them a shout out. And I know Andy's watching tonight. We gave him a little bit of a shout out in the pre-show because somebody had mentioned they were working with Andy on buying a contract. So thank you to them for sponsoring our show and helping us cover the bills and make this thing happen. So DVC Resale Market, the world's leader in DVC resales. I bought six contracts through them, sold one that I bought as an investment to flip, and I can tell you they are phenomenal to work with on all sides of the equations, buying, selling, even behind the scenes and being friends with the agents because we record shows monthly. So they're really good people. I highly recommend you check them out. And then the first news story tonight is the breaking news on the Disneyland Tower. So first off, then let me ask our local experts, have you guys been by recently? Have you driven by anything new?
Oh, March 11th was the last day I was there.
Okay. So nothing new physically. I mean, I'm rocking the whole Disneyland Towers green screen tonight just to celebrate this news. But it looks like a 1,609-page document was released with all kinds of juicy details on Disneyland Tower. And so that's kind of what we're going to go over tonight and start talking about it and figure out what people are thinking about the new Disneyland Tower. Have you guys had a chance to look at anything yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your guys' thoughts on there as well? So.
Well,
excitement.
Yeah. We're all excited.
Super excited.
And I'm really happy that Anaheim decided to say, okay. And I'm so happy that Walnut Street, it overlooks into their housing complex. So I'm happy all the Walnut Street people said, it's okay. We want a tower. It's fine. That's my relief.
Yeah. So it was really waiting on the people right that lived right behind the tower to vote on this and say, okay, we're going to do this. Do we know if Disney like gave them any kind of incentives or anything?
I don't know. I have a friend. She lives on the other side in Garden Grove, a different city. So she said they weren't offered anything, but they're not directly behind on that Walnut Street.
Got it.
Yeah. I think they did. The design is really nice for the neighborhood. I mean, it definitely looks, it looks like it belongs in a neighborhood from the backside.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Disney did a nice job with that.
Yeah, I've got an article here, and it comes from our friend Pete that does DVCHelp.com. He went through all like 1,609 pages over there.
Oh, wow.
And kind of broke it down. So I'm just going to like do a shameless steal of his research here and give him a big shout out over at DVC Help for doing this article. And let me pull this up. Come back in and kill this banner. But this is his research, and it's basically he went through this document and pulled out all kinds of great pictures. And so we've seen this one feature art in the news before. That art is not new, but what is new is that these two areas, like right up in here, are the Grand Villas. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's only two of them. And then when you start coming back into this, man, they have like really packed a lot of building into a little space here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think that the key lead story here is, you know, well, Gina, you had mentioned earlier adding significant view improvements to Walnut Street versus Ivy crowded in a chain link fence. And so it looks like they're trying to come back in and say, hey, guys, if you let us in, we'll look nice. We'll look pretty. We promise. Disney, they typically do, but
yeah,
I think the key here is like this location has 350 rooms. That's the equivalent size of like a Bay Lake Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the aesthetic matches Disneyland Hotel, so that's the other thing, because the first, when they did the preliminary sketches, it didn't match with the aesthetic, and I like this matches a lot better with the Disneyland Hotel. It finishes the square, it finishes the quad.
Yeah, it makes it more, it makes it look like a resort more now. It completes it, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now that you mention it, it reminds me of like a college campus quad, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I believe Pete has some overhead pictures here as well.
Well, and I like that they, facing the hotels, it is just sort of that flat kind of building like they have for the other towers. But then when you come off the back, they've added space. It looks like by stepping the hotel kind of down a bit. I think that's kind of nice from an aesthetic perspective, but also adds a lot more space in the building.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to note here that they are putting a lobby with a DVC desk and concierge down there as
That's
well.
That's even better. So you don't have to deal with the other towers. You just walk straight over from.
Yeah, LA. I think they learned their lesson at Bay Lake when they tried to say, well, we'll just have this staffed over at the Contemporary. And I don't think that really worked out too well.
I just think it's too many people. I think it's too much.
Yeah. Yeah, now the one thing that I think will be interesting is just looking at this picture here, the swimming pools are in this area right in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at it going, that thing's going to be in the shadows like constantly between two corner towers. And then you've got the convention center the other side. It'll be private. I'll say that. Okay. I don't know how much sunbathing you're going to get done out there, but. We'll figure it out. Okay.
I didn't see anything in the artwork or the article that suggested a slide. Just an interactive water feature, I think, is how they...
Yeah, that's what they called that there. So kind of like a splash pad area is what I take it. But when you look at it and you go, most resorts don't have two feature pools and two feature pools with slides.
Yeah.
And you've already got right there in the center of those four buildings, the Disneyland Hotel monorail pool with the monorail slides.
Yeah.
So
it makes sense.
Yeah. I figured they could get by with a quiet pool back here. So,
yeah.
I'm surprised that they could fit a pool back there. Like, I was shocked when I read that. I went, oh, they can actually.
Yeah, it looked like the dimensions on it were like 75 by 36. So wasn't huge, but it was still good sized. Okay. And the other part that I liked was there's a two-story tunnel, so to speak, under the tower to get access to the pool. So that'll be kind of neat as well, that you can kind of cut through like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming down with some more aerial views, there you can start to see the pool area a little bit more back in that area. And you can even tell in that artist photo rendering deal that it's in the shadows. Okay.
Right. It is.
And then here's like an overhead that he pulled out of it, showing that this is the tower going here. You've got the pool here. You've got the kiddie slide. Now there's supposed to be a 20 seat pool bar area here, which will be the only food establishment in the tower.
Oh.
Yeah. I was surprised they weren't adding a restaurant.
Me too.
Especially like with Topolino's at Riviera, like a sort of a signature restaurant at the hotel. But there's a lot of options already, I guess, at Disneyland. But I was surprised not to see a restaurant added.
Yeah, because, I mean, you don't want to tear down Steakhouse 55 and try to move that. That's just too iconic. But it's like, could that really support another high-end restaurant? Because you wouldn't put anything up there that wasn't like Topolino's level of high-end.
They have Goofy's Kitchen, which is like Chef Mickey's. It's exactly the same food, same everything. So you have your character dining there. You have the Steakhouse 55. So I think it's close enough walking.
Yeah. It is very close.
Yeah. And there's a coffee shop in the area now. So they might just, that's where the pool area is going to be, is where that coffee shop is.
I wish they had another quick service, though, like just a sandwich type of place.
The Earl is right there, man. What more could you ask
for? You just have to walk. Just walk downtown Disney.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, that's the difference, right? At Disneyland, you're so close to proximity. Downtown Disney, everything's walkable. So, and not adding another restaurant isn't a huge deal.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest pain to going to the Earl from this tower, which I would like do daily, okay? I'm not going to lie.
Okay? Dedication. It's just, you have to go through security. That's the only schlep.
That's it, right? That's you got to go through security. You beat me to it, right?
That's the only schlep you have to do.
Now, here was the other interesting thing that I thought was peculiar. When you're looking at this tower, supposedly these areas right in here, these buildings, are going to be rooms as well. So there's like a two-story room over there. And from the look of that, it looks like it would be something like a lock-off shape out there when you see the other room features. Mm-hmm. So I am really looking forward as to what's coming down the pipe here.
Yeah.
I'm like really looking forward to this.
Kind of like the garden rooms at the boardwalk, that type of.
I think so. But they're like standalone buildings, so they're not part of the tower.
Hmm.
And it's really hard to blow this up and see it. But it is called garden units.
Oh, then maybe
is what that says right there.
That's your garden view right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it's its own booking category and you'll probably have to be an owner to book there. Okay. That's likely. And like I said, Pete did a great job pulling out all of this info.
Awesome.
I noticed the Tower Studio is here to stay. That was evident from the room categories that he pulled out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when we come on down through here and you can start to see this guest room schedule, he has it broken out by floor. And I don't know if he put this together or he picked this out of the documentation, but they're calling them pod rooms that are essentially like a tower studio. And then here's the really, really cool part for all of you people that are just going, I can't get one of those, you know, 17 or 19 rooms of studios at, over at Grand Cal. 253 dedicated.
Yeah. They're making so up, they're making up for all the studio loss.
Yeah.
Yes. And then there's 18 lock-offs available.
Yeah.
So you look at that and you go, wow, there's 271 studios available plus 36 tower studios / pods available. And the only thing that I can see here that's got me scratching my head and going, those studios do not look like they are 5-person sleepers. Okay. Cause this is the pod room right here, which would probably have the one fold down bed, like a Murphy bed.
Yep.
And then over here on this side, really just see the queen bed, the pull out, but I'm missing the little TV flip down, like right over here. Okay. I'm like, where's the TV flip down? Like, where's the Murphy? Where's the Murphy? Okay. Because you can see it over here in like the one bedroom and the lock off plan. That looks like that's the Murphy right there. So that's the only thing that I see as a miss. And if we don't get 5-person rooms there, I'll be kind of disappointed. Okay. I don't know about you guys. What are you thinking?
Personally, I don't need a 5-person studio, but I think for families, it would be nice, but I didn't see square footage in the article. And I wonder if they're just going to be smaller studios just because the footprint of the hotel is so small.
That could be it. It could be a fire code rating, something along those lines.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I was curious to see the size of the rooms as against what the Grand Cal studios are. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious to see that. I mean, for my family, it's not going to be a big deal. We're three, so not having 5 won't be a big deal, but I agree it'll be a big deal for some family.
Yeah,
for my family of 5, there's 350 rooms there, and then that means I have a total that I could stay in of 29 rooms, or let's see, 39 rooms, not counting the Grand Villas, because who's going to spend that kind of points, but for 5 people, but I could get a 1-bedroom or a 2-bedroom, and that would limit me to 39 rooms out of 350.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's almost like if you don't own there as a family of 5, you're going to be. You're not going. Okay.
Yeah. 2 studios it is.
Yeah. Well, that's what you're going to have to book is try to get 2 studios. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which again, it's about the same point cost as a 1-bedroom these days in most places. So I guess to your point, you're really not missing out on that much.
Yeah, or you could do a pod in a studio because it's pod sleep too.
Good point.
Yeah, if you could get one of those, maybe as an owner. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you do own there, you could pick up a pod in a deal. Not quite ideal here.
Yeah.
Let's come back in. I start to see some comments popping up here. Let's see if we can pick up some of these as well. So our buddy Randy was saying it's going to be so nice to be able to have a chance to book Disneyland at the 7-month mark. Grand Cal's become nearly impossible. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, Randy, this could be like sold out with owners as well of people who are going to just nail this at the 11-month mark.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Shannon was saying that she thinks that they're moving to 4-person studios. Mm. And Amanda's with me. The studios need to sleep 5. I agree with you 100%. Okay. But Mary says 5 people in a studio makes me cringe. I get it. But at the same point in time, we're talking Disneyland. Okay. We're not talking the Walt Disney World style. We're here for 7, 9, 10 days. You're talking 3 days at Disneyland and you've done everything twice and you're ready to move on to something else.
Okay? Yeah. Disneyland is our long weekend trip.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Disney World is our week long or greater trip for sure. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. And Mary says, I like to get away from my family.
That's great.
Not going to disagree with you there, Mary. Not going to disagree with you. Uh-uh. Nope. So, and Dan saying that he's with me. It's a miss if they don't have the option for 5 in a studio. And I think that will be a huge talking point. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like we went through Copper Creek. We went through this 5-person battle. Then we had the battle over at Poly that all they had was 1-bedrooms. And it's like, if those studios don't do five, I feel like it's going to be the big talking point miss. Okay. Especially being 270 plus of these things. Yeah. Okay. Like, yeah.
But I wonder if it will really hamper things at all. I mean, my perception is this resort is sold out before it's even built. Right. And to your point, Chad, I think it'll be sold out with existing members before it's even built.
Yeah.
So it's sort of one of those things where they can, I think what they're trying to do probably with the square footage of the room is cram more rooms into a small footprint. And so they got to trade off something.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah, that's probably what they're doing, but it doesn't mean that.
It doesn't work for every family, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure.
Yep. Because then that gets into the 9 people, 2 bedrooms as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was a huge plus. But if that center bedroom, the one bedroom in the center area has that extra Murphy bed, they can at least pull 9 off here. Yeah. Okay. And they could be trying to avoid the 10 in the lock off because that's a lot of people there as well.
Yeah.
And again, it gets into fire code standards and other things along those lines. And so coming back in. And Amanda was saying the 3 of us were upgraded from a studio to a 1-bedroom at Boardwalk today.
Awesome.
Nice.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. That is really awesome. And then Amy was saying we're a family of 3, but we really like the studios with the flip down bed. It's nice to never have to convert the couch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Although, Amy, have you done the new Murphy styles from the couch, like the Riviera style ones? Those are exceptionally easy to come back in and start to flip down. I don't mind those at all. They just up and down in like one hand, one arm. They're just, you know, on it and easy. And so Tina was saying, I have a son and a daughter. We love the 5 people studio, so they don't have to share.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? It's a broad appeal here, right? And then doesn't everyone want to get away from their family now?
I know my brother is watching, so I'm not going to say anything.
We're all hoping for 1-person pods at this point, right?
Yeah.
1-person pods.
Yeah, and Shannon makes this comment, and the beds are so comfortable in the new flip downs as well. So, yeah, I think that's it. I mean, I'm excited to look at this room, 350 rooms with the vast majority studios. That's going to solve a lot of people's issues.
Yes.
And, you know, them not having a kitchen in the majority of those rooms, you're at Disney. Like, this is a 3-day trip.
Yeah, you're not going to be cooking. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different experience at land. That just is. It's just completely different.
I mean, when we did Grand Cal, we were there for a week. So we did go get groceries and we did cook and some things along those lines. But we were also going, we're here for a week and...
Right, it's a different...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's so easy to, like, again, at Disneyland, it's so easy to step outside your hotel room and be at one of, you know, a dozen restaurants in like 10 minutes. Like, it's not Disney World where you have to hop transportation. So...
Right.
Yeah.
There's 2 Starbuckses in like...
200 feet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's east and west, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've misordered at one and it has not been a pain to go to the other.
Yeah, right.
That's funny. Leo on YouTube comes up with this and he says, any word when we would be able to add on this resort? It's the documentation is looking like a 2023 open date. And I don't believe DVC is going to hold off on building this one because I think they know this thing is just going to be printing money. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And they need the cash flow right now.
Yeah.
I think they're going to go full ahead on this one as fast as they can, get this thing up and get the cash coming because there's so many people looking to just buy this. And
I already called my vacation guide and told him, add me to whatever list you're keeping of people who are willing to give you money right away for this resort. So,
Yeah. Yep. So, and then. Well, Dan, I hope that the Murphy beds don't fall off the walls here. I think they learned their lesson with, you know, double checking those contractors and leashing up the beds pretty good. So, and then Shannon says, what do you think about the point charge? Do you think it'll be more than the Grand Cal? I can't see them going more than the Grand Cal because I don't think the Disneyland Hotel is at the same par as the Grand Hotel.
It's
farther.
It's like halfway between a moderate and I feel like the Disneyland Hotel is halfway between a moderate and a deluxe, and Grand Cal is squarely in the deluxe. So, yeah.
So I'm thinking the point chart should be a little bit more forgiving there. And then as well, proximity. you're still talking, it's a 10-minute walk, okay, to get from this hotel to the parks. Whereas at Grand Cal, it's
2 seconds. Two, exit and you're in. You're into one of the parks.
Yeah, and then even getting over to Disneyland from Grand Cal is not bad as well.
It's 5 minutes.
Easy. Yeah.
So to me, it's like, I don't think it's going to have the proximity deal. That being said and done, I don't think it's going to be all that bad either, because I think it'll be more comparable to from the walk from Bay Lake Tower to Magic Kingdom.
Right.
Okay, about a 10-minute deal, right? Yeah.
It's also not going to have the views based on where the tower is.
Right.
Like no great. Yeah, Grand Cal, you're going to be able to get a theme park view. You're not going to be able to get that here. So,
yeah. You'll be lucky to get a street view.
Yeah, but they did say the two Grand Villas would be facing Disneyland. So maybe you could see over a tower and see some of the fireworks. Because I do know a friend who stays club level at the Disneyland hotel. And he says that the club level rooms up at the very top are pretty spectacular for watching the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
He would rather get a Disneyland hotel club level than a Grand Cal club level. So that was from somebody who goes about once a month.
Yeah, the parking structure has a better view. Yeah, I agree. The parking structure has a better view than Grand Cal.
Yeah. Yep. And so Vicky asked, but did I bake cookies? But no, but I can guarantee you I am going to be baking cookies in the next ones, and we're going to be doing some funny posts on that one for my buddy Damon over at Welcome Home Podcast.
Yep.
And then, so ECV Convoy is saying any increase in rooms at Disneyland Resort is a plus.
True.
I agree.
Yes.
And then what does this do to Grand Cal resale? Grand Cal resale is just on fire right now. Okay. It is just like, I'm this close to selling some of my Grand Cals. And so Andy like texts me every single time he sells one of them. So like I sold, you know, two more for $230, $235, Chad. Like,
wow.
And mine are small 100-pointers. So we're going like, yeah, you can list them at $240, $245 maybe. Mm-hmm. But and so he's just like saying, list them. And And so like, trust me, I get lit up every time one of those things sells from my buddy Andy with a little encouragement. So I think Grand Cal resale is going to be doing fine. I don't think it's going to really pull it down so much, because if you're a Grand Cal lover, you're still going to want that proximity to the park. Okay.
Yeah. I would buy Grand Cal over this for sure.
Right.
Just because I love Grand Cal.
Yeah, I mean, one of my home resorts is Grand Cal. I'll add this on so I have more points and potentially, we like to stay at Disneyland Hotel occasionally. So, it's fun to split between the two, but I still love Grand Cal. I'm not going to get rid of that contract.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And Vicky was saying the rates are significantly lower at Disneyland Hotel than Grand Cal. So that should translate over to lower point charts as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And then Mary was saying you might have a decent view in some. That's always possible. Mm-hmm. And Mary has got my back onto cookies. She says, I always make cookies when I stay at Beach Club Villa. Thank you so much there, Mary. Right. And I actually found that video this week and I'm going to be rolling clips of it.
That's okay. Fabulous.
Because we are working. Yeah. On one of the lives coming up soon, it's going to be like the most work we have ever done for a live, but we're going to do a member reaction video to the DVC marketing videos. So that's coming. I just got to take their marketing video and make it into small chunks so we can roll the clip like I do the intro here. And so that'll be kind of fun to come back in and just kind of pounce on that stuff when we see it.
And
yes, I'm really looking forward to that as well. But so, okay, I think we're caught up on the comments here as well. Let me come back in and see if there's anything else here we need to cover. Just scrolling down, this is the one bedroom and the lock off for the two bedroom. You can see pretty much the same floor plan here for the two bedroom, except for the extra two beds. And in looking at this, it does look like this is a three bathroom solution. That's another great thing that I love about Grand Cal and Bay Lake Tower in Kidani is you've got that extra bathroom here in the center area. So that is like kudos, 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 plus, 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 plus. my family loves those. That's what puts us firmly into Team Kidani land, is we're one bedroom people or two bedroom people, and that extra bathroom makes all the difference mm-hmm. in the world. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we've got our grand villa layouts that he pulled out here as well, which I think isn't. Here's the interesting part on this grand villa. That's all one big deck.
Yeah.
Okay. That'd be cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're talking on either the 8th or the 10th floor for that deck, it looks like. So that's huge. Okay. And having this big, huge deck out here, and it's angled out towards the rest of it, because if you come back into the front, where's the front view? Front view, front, right? That little area is kind of angled out just for those grand villa, mm-hmm. I guess, decks mm-hmm. or porches. Okay. It looks like they might have a little something extra over here on this side as well. But it looks like all of these studios right here in the front don't have anything.
It looks like the Grand Villa side, it looks like it's like overlapped with the Frontier Tower of the yes. existing towers. So that's probably why it's angled.
Yeah.
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 I had that same thought. And I think they want the aesthetic to match the other towers. That's why there's no balcony.
Yeah.
Got it. That could be the case as well. Yeah. Even though that's something that DVC, where traditionally you always get a balcony. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you can start to see from this picture that it looks like, Lauren, to your point, that is coming out, and it's almost either in front of or like
mm-hmm. yeah,
right there.
Very close to the Frontier it's, Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, why didn't you just connect them?
They should.
So, Chad, you mentioned there's a separate check-in desk, but you know what I'm not seeing is any like vehicle access. So I'm guessing you're still going to come up to the main
right
parking tower
area. Mm-hmm.
And have to sort of schlep over to the DVC tower. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Because just looking at this photo here, Brian, I think that's the parking area yes. right back
yeah.
there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then these parking spots right here are for the Alani Preview Center and the DVC Sales Center that's there
yep.
today.
Yep.
Yep.
Which I could see them just moving that into the tower, right? Like close those things down, move them into the tower.
Yeah.
That
would be a cast member lot. They would probably change that to a cast member lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something along those lines. Okay. But I see that DVC Sales Center just being folded into the resort. It just mm-hmm. makes sense to me.
Right.
Yeah. I think the wedding showcase area is over there too, because when we took our tour, because we were looking to have our wedding at Disneyland, and it's also in that DVC building as well. At least it was a couple of years ago.
Got it. Okay.
Well, they have a little sales center in Grand Cal too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't know that there was one in there. So.
Yeah, last time we
kiosk, but.
Yeah, last time we stayed there, right by the. There's like the fitness center, and then you walk into the DVC tower, and they had converted this area into a sales center over there.
Oh, I didn't check it out. I never check it out.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I didn't come across it in April when we were staying there. So, and I think that's it. I mean, Pete's done a phenomenal that's job awesome. Of pulling this out. And I looked at a couple of different websites, and I was like, nah, I'm going to go with my buddy's Pete as to what we're going to do.
Because
I think he's got the most comprehensive breakdown here as well. So that's pretty much it for DVC Tower. Let's see if there's any more comments. I don't see anything. So let me come back in and then just kill the screen share. And yeah, so DVC Tower, looking forward to it. I'm probably going to end up buying some points there. So
I am too.
I'm not going to lie. Okay?
We all are. And we all are.
Last thing I need is more points right now, but I'm probably still going to end up buying some. I'm just, you know. Let's just be honest with ourselves, okay? So, the next topic that of tonight is kind of an interesting one as well. And so, we're doing a community discussion tonight because I'm researching for a new podcast series. We'll ask this question a couple of different ways, but it's really just coming back in and saying, what should somebody know about DVC before buying? So I wanted to host this conversation. We've been posting it in the Mighty DVC Points community group. We posted it out on Instagram. It got some answers back. So now we're going to come back in and just kind of merge our shows together and kind of mesh them and just get some member ideas tonight. What would you tell your best friend if they said, hey, I'm looking to buy DVC. What should I know? fill me in, bring me up to speed. So do you guys have any thoughts here? Any questions? Yeah, if you're new and you're researching and you've got questions, it'd be a great time to come back in, because the background of this story goes, it used to be I was able to tell people, oh, just go binge the podcast. Okay. Well, we're 100 plus episodes deep. I gotta give these people a little bit of a break now. I mean, I've avoided this DVC 101 conversation for years. Now I kind of feel like binge the 100 plus episodes isn't going to work.
No. So
I'm going to create a mini playlist here and saying, hey, go check out these 5 half-hour episodes. Okay. Binge those. And that'll be kind of what the community thinks you guys really need to know to make an informed and educated decision about buying DVC. So what are some of the things that you guys would put into that series? Gina, Brian, Lauren, and everybody.
Yeah. Know when you're typically going to travel to help you pick your use here. That's number one for me.
Okay. So, and that's ironically, that's something that Kenny's working on for the next version of the app.
That's great.
Is putting in there a use share optimizer. Okay.
Yeah.
And just helping you figure out what would your optimal use share be being at your travel. And I think for 1.4, we're just going to leave it in as a single use share, but then at 1.5, we'll kick up the algorithms and get it into maybe doing multiples if you're going multiple times a year.
Yeah.
So that's a really good one.
I have two. I'd say one is really be honest with yourself about how you travel. We were staying at deluxe resorts already, and so it made the decision to buy DVC a lot more sort of financially, viable, right? We were saving money in the long run by buying DVC. But if you're totally comfortable staying at, value resort, I think you got a little bit more thinking to do around the financial side of it. And I think you also have to recognize that once you buy DVC, you're probably going to go more often. So whatever you think you can squeak by with on the minimum points, it's not going to do it. So don't buy the minimum points thinking, that's going to cover my vacations. You're going to probably end up going more often. And I guess the other tip I'd have is I like to remind people, there's no one way to do DVC. People are going to give you lots of advice, but you got to do what's right for you. Do it the way you want to do it. There's no one right way to do this.
No, absolutely. The other thing that I'm going to cover as well is, the annual passes should have like a PSA warning on there. Okay. Like this, the annual pass and the annual pass discount is a gateway drug to add-on-itis. Okay.
Yes.
Let's just call it like it is. Okay. Cause, I get this annual pass discount. Ooh, well, I need to go more. Oh, well, I need more points.
And let me just tell you, it was 30% last week. So guess who bought a bunch of shirts and a bunch of stuff at the merch? Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So which one's better, DVC or annual pass? So like an annual pass, 30% right now. True. Everything you're saying is true.
Yeah. The annual pass is a gateway drug. So, okay. Lauren, any thoughts?
What everybody always says is like, buy where you want to stay. And I think when we bought direct Copper Creek, and our guide wasn't super clear with us about the availability of Grand Californian, because that's where we would go to Grand Californian more often. And we had asked him about it. And he just got like steered us towards Copper Creek, and we bought a small contract. So we were like, okay. But really being able to book Grand Californian at the 7-month mark is very close to impossible. So for West Coast people who go to Disneyland more often, I would say buy Grand Californian, the new Disneyland resort.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. That's my biggest, just for a West Coast perspective, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Know the 7-month, 11-month mm-hmm. stuff. Pete has some great charts out there at DVC Help as well to start to come back in and show you his availability predictors. How many days in a 2-week period were available at the 7-month mark when he was tracking it.
Right.
And so that's some really good stuff. And Grand Cal. No.
Yeah.
Nope.
And utilize all the resources. Like, we didn't know how big of a community there was. Just do your research, because there's so much information out there.
Yeah. we've got podcasts and YouTube stuff and this program, and we're just one content creator of many. Right. Okay. So, and we collaborate with about everybody who wants to collaborate with us as well. Mm-hmm. So we're a pretty open platform. And so let's come back in and pick up some of these comments as well. And I'm sure they'll spark some more comments here. So Mary was saying buy some points direct from Disney and then add on with resale, unless there's some really good incentives that you want, like the Sorcerer Mickey Big Fig.
Oh, figurine, like the big figurine if you want.
Was that like a promotion item for a while with buying direct? I don't know.
Maybe it was.
And then Scott is in the buy where you want to stay camp. Pick a home resort where you wouldn't mind staying in case you can get there at the in case you can't get something at the 7 month mark. So I think those are two separate, like, no, we're creating one show that's going to be called Know Your Buying Style. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's the, you know, the buy where you want to stay. Okay. There's the buy where you wouldn't mind staying is one. There's the economic buyers. Okay. There's, I classify myself as an exit strategy buyer. Okay. I want to own someplace that if I have to sell it, I can sell it and not lose a whole bunch of money. Mm. Okay. So to me, that's like another strategy involved as well. And then the other thing I'll say on that one is people will shift. Okay. Cause I own some beach club, which is the buy where you want to stay. Okay. Yeah. And it's killing me that I'm looking at selling it, but 2042 is coming. Okay. Yeah. And that exit strategy person with me is looking 20 years left on the contract. At what point in time is this thing going to really just start to go down?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. So I'm trying to beat that curve. Okay. So that's another really great thing there as well. And let me come back in. Joan was saying, I've advised my friends to buy enough points for how you want to travel, especially since they changed the rules on borrowing. Yeah, the best advice I've heard on that one comes from a gentleman who works at Grand Californian. And I think his name is Dave, but he said he has been an Old Key West owner since day one of DVC. It's like 30-year cast member with Disney. And his advice was buy as many points as you can reasonably afford.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not what you think you need, because the add-on-itis thing is real. I'm going to go more and more points, more points, more points. So he just says buy what you can reasonably afford.
Great.
And I think that's some pretty solid advice on that one as well. And then Mary says the AP will make you decide to go a lot and make that pass worth it.
True.
Yep. And then Dan was saying, do your research and don't rush a decision. Mm-hmm. Make sure you look at the point charts to understand how many points you need for when you want to travel. Okay. And then multiply that by two.
Yeah.
That's my boy, Dan, being honest with you. Okay.
That's true.
Right?
That's almost exactly what we did when we bought our direct contract at Riviera. We initially bought about half the points we ended up with. And after looking at it, we went back and they tore up the contracts and we did. We took advantage of a larger incentive and made more points or had more.
We have to redo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, a situation like that, that's something that I don't think your guide will mind shredding the contract.
No problem.
Amount of points.
Yeah.
Okay.
More money, better.
Yeah. That one's not a problem for those guys. They will come back in and do that. No problem. So, and then Amy says, I wish I had understand you share better. Our spring break will always be always split our U-share, which makes things complicated. Yeah. So yeah, if you have like an April U-share and you could be going in end of March, that really crossing your U-share on there is really going to make things complicated as well. And so Mary saying the DVC resale market website has fantastic research articles. Research before you kai. I think she meant the word buy. But yes, absolutely, Mary. And then Holly's got a pretty long post here. I didn't read it all, but she says, and it's covering half the screen. I agree with Brian. Know how you travel? We always stayed value and we were fine with it. But once we reached five and our family, it significantly changed things. There's only so many options for family of five. And the suites at, what is that? All Star Music. Yep. And our innovation continued to rise in cost, and we were worried about outgrowing the five people rooms at the moderates. DVC allows us to comfortably stay, allows us to be comfortable during our stay and to be able to stay in deluxe resorts each year for the next 48 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is a definite, you know, family planning, family size there. Well, that's why I love those 5-person studios. Okay. I think they're a home run and I don't think you can go wrong with them, because if you don't use the bed, so what? But it's there if for those of us who do need it. It's a great point, stretching tech. Mm-hmm. Well, and oh, Mary came back in and says, yes, the Sorcerer Mickey, and he's holding up the DVC globe and it lights.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's fancy.
Cool.
You have to post some photos of that one in the community group there, Mary. So, and then Patricia was saying, we always save our points and go every other year. And this was our year, and COVID is putting a damper on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand banking and borrowing.
Yeah, that's a whole episode. I agree.
That is a whole episode right there. And to come back in and understand, they can change the rules on that. We're under COVID, they have. And right now they've only changed the borrowing side, but I think they could change the banking side sometime as well. Okay, just to come back in with that. And then, so Dan was saying here, if you buy larger amounts of points, split your contracts up.
Yep.
And buy at least one direct for the bennies. Yes. We covered that in our, what happened was, as we created that podcast on estates and trusts, and I got done with it and I was like, you know, this needs to be like the very final episode in that playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we recorded it first and got it out there, I think that's what we're going to end up doing, is coming back up and making a playlist for here's what goes on. And then I think after we do this one, I'm going to do another mini series playlist on what to expect when you buy resale, to just come back in and walk everybody through all of those steps and processes and how resale will compare to direct as well. We're working on some unique content there for the podcast. And that was why we started to split out the community hall from the podcast, from the news deal as well. So, and then this last comment here, we'll pick up from Sam. It says, families who know they will always need two rooms have an advantage of generally having much more booking options for a 2-bedroom at the 7-month window, and 100% resale, more of an option. And it's not as important to buy where you want to stay. And as spoken from a family of 7.
Wow. Yeah.
I agree with you there as well, Sam. We started off in we got into the buy where you want to stay category. We go in summer a lot. And summer is just not that busy, even though the point charts are a little bit higher. And so we can find whatever we want at the 7-month mark. It's really not a problem. And I've also determined I love all of these resorts. Okay. So I wouldn't mind staying at any one of them, to be brutally honest. Now there's some like Grand Flow and Riviera that I look at the point chart on and go, right. But they're all awesome resorts as well. So, okay, I think that was a pretty great discussion, and we're getting near the top of the hour. So I wanted to do an update as well. And if you remember, 2 weeks ago on the show, we did a story about the Karen Pellegrino family from, I guess not last week, but 2 weeks ago. I didn't update this because I forgot to last week. And there's a GoFundMe that we have for her. People were so touched and so moved by that story. I was really hesitant to air that content because it was just really hard to recover from that. Karen was facing terminally ill cancer. And as of a week ago, Saturday night, Karen is no longer with us. So I just wanted to come and give everybody an update on that. But I can say thank you to the community, because we were almost at $1,000 when I looked at what contributions came in, and some that I had seen were attributed back to the community there. So if you would like to come back in and help us get over the $1,000 from Karen and her family, that'd be great. MyDVCPoints.com/Ohana right now will forward you over to their GoFundMe. I even have a photo of family if I can find it right here. So, and that would be Karen and her family. So she was a nurse. Her husband is a police officer, both frontline warriors here in this COVID stuff and really great people. Their story really touched us. So if you want to consider doing that, that would be awesome as well. And let's kind of come back in transition. And then I saw, yes, and Mary says prayers for her family. Very much so. Very much so. And then the last thing to cover tonight, a show. Struggling because I'm doing all of your work, Gina, because I've got you on the...
Yeah, I can't type and look.
So it's a lot of clicking to find everything here. Yeah. But this show is now in its own individual podcast. If you miss a week, be sure to download the Community Hall podcast. You can find it on iTunes, Google Play, wherever else. And then Shannon and Pete are doing a show. And we'll be bringing in some more people here soon, but it's DVC Newscast. And so all news stories and their kind of reaction to them. And like they did an episode Friday, it went out Saturday, and then the DVC Tower story hit. So there's one in the editing queue right now it'll probably go out tomorrow. We're just talking about the DVC Tower from their perspective as well. So you guys go ahead and subscribe to those. That would be great. And that is pretty much it. So I'm going to throw this link up here. If you'd like to support the platform, patreon.com/mydvcpoints. I thank everybody for listening and tuning in this week. We will be saying goodbye, and I am going to roll the final credits and give a shout out to all of our Patreons. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.